Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion. Hey. Hi, everyone. Hello.
Hi.
We're eating on mic, which is gonna drive my husband / editor.
Thanks, Dave.
A little bit crazy.
Mm-hmm. But they're delicious almond M&M's.
It's delicious almond M&M's that Evan's treating us to. So hello, it's the Fashion Hags. It's episode 35.
Hi, friends.
Hi.
We're here.
Hi, Hags. Hags for life.
Hey,
someone put a hashtag Hags for life on one of our
and I almost cried.
I was like, we're changing the world.
Thank
we
you.
Are,
yeah.
We are
one hashtag at a time.
Someone invented a hashtag for us. I wanted to weep. It was so beautiful.
The Hags rise of life. The hag. Yeah.
Hags four, like number
Hags four.
Four.
Hags nine.
Four, yeah. Life. Thank you. Whoever was.
You spell life with a Y or I don't know.
I don't know how the kids are doing it.
Actually,
it was. Yeah.
Because they're cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not hags. A regular mom. Cool mom.
I'm not a regular hag. I'm a fashion hag.
Yeah.
I'm choking on my M&M's. My excitement about being a hag. Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? But we're back in the studio. Hello. It's just Katie and Evan and I this week.
Mm-hmm.
Back to basics.
Can we say thank you to everyone who watched our red carpet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. It
went
so
fast. It was a total riot. I know. I thought like an hour.
We can do it maybe for an hour.
And then we're like, shit, it's been an hour. Like, we got to wrap this up. We got to go. It was so fun. So thank you guys so much for all of your little emojis. And
yes, your thumbs ups
and your questions and your comments. It was so fun. It was a
super,
total blast.
Super fun. Yeah.
All the compliments on the looks.
Yes. We'll have to do it again.
We'll find another reason
for it. Oh, we could do it with the Met Ball.
Oh, May's coming up. First Monday in May.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
We can just review pictures.
The Super Bowl of fashion.
Super Bowl or Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl, yeah.
It's the Met Ball. It's the Super Bowl.
That's what it's called, right?
Yeah. The Super Bowl is
it? I don't know.
All I've known is that there's been a Beyonce concert and a Lady Gaga concert in the last 4 years. Sometime.
Yeah.
Sometime at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
We'll see if Beyonce shows up. She might not. I don't know when her babies are due, but.
Oh, Beyonce will be there pregnant. Believe you me. The look is being worked on at this very second.
they're already creating the fucking girdle she's going to have to wear to hold her up. And
oh, my God.
Oh, did you guys see this super dumb shit about Amal Clooney?
Spotted
at the UN with a baby bump? I went to throw my computer off the balcony.
Oh, God. So. Yeah. My eyes rolled and steam came on my ears at the same time.
Oh, she's a fucking, like, human rights lawyer.
One of the most boss bitches
in the universe.
In the universe. Ugh. And a canary yellow mulberry dress, blah, 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 squirting her baby bump.
Guess what?
Fuck
we
yeah.
love fashion, and we could care
we don't
fucking
give
less
fuck
about what she's wearing.
About what she's wearing.
Yeah.
Oh, if you,
and she's representing like Nobel Peace Prize winners in this huge law, like
and talking
God.
About why like
genocide.
ISIS terrorists have not
she
been
was
held
at
accountable
the
in an international
fucking
state.
N, for God's sakes, it's just like just if you don't know why the UN exists, it's because of
dumbass people.
Like the UN exists for a very specific reason
to show your baby bump,
baby yeah, bump.
And like be a fashion plate, and like. Did you see the shoes she was wearing?
Oh my God,
I wonder what lashes she was wearing. Were they the 457s from MAC? I think they were.
Oh, God.
Honey, get your secrets on Amal Clooney's UN look.
Yeah.
You Amal too. Clooney, George Clooney's wife.
Yeah.
You know, credited as... Oh, yeah, yeah.
You too can look dewy while you're trying to fix the wrongs of the world.
Oh, God.
How Amal Clooney bounces back after her baby bump.
Bar
town. Anyway...
That was a fun thing
what
to happen the
we
same week as International Women's Day.
Yeah.
That was a fun one. I don't think we're preaching to the choir with our hag listeners, but
yeah, that's true.
That's why we need Women's Day. That's why you need a National
that's
Day
right.
of the Woman. That's why those things have to happen.
That's true.
Because shit like that happens too, from men and from women.
Yeah. Like I coming from someone who was raised by a very large group of very strong women, it's just like it's baffling to me that that day needs to exist.
Ugh.
It's just like the like people being like, oh, we need the International Day of Men. It's like, guess what? Every fucking day is the International Day of Men.
You have 364 of those.
Yeah, it's just like, fuck off.
Yeah. We could talk about, there's a whole bunch of things.
This could be the whole episode, us sitting here bitching about this.
Let's move on.
About smashing the patriarchy.
And the commodification of feminism, but that's for another time.
That can be another issue.
Oh, yeah, that'll be all.
Oh, God, that's like 8 episodes.
That'll be a series where we have a women's studies professor from UBC. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And it'll just be us in a room shaking our fists.
Yeah. Setting fire to things. And you know. Taking our clothes off or something, running around,
burning the bra.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God, just turning primal.
Yeah. I'm not wearing a bra right now. That's my smashing of the patriarchy. Neither is Evan. No. Oh yeah, we're doing it. We're doing it together.
Yeah,
we're gonna topple this system, man.
Yeah, one bra.
One
at a time.
Braless afternoon at a time. Yeah.
I'm wearing a super old nursing bra. That it helps.
Oh.
It does help.
It's not
it
supporting
does.
Much. Certainly not the patriarchy.
No, that's true.
No, that's fuck true. It. Anyway, let's catch up. What's going on with you, Katie?
Well, part of the reason I'm not wearing a bra today is because I got real drunk last night. I've been hungover all day. It's my friend's 40th birthday, so we went up to Whistler to party with his pals and some pals from home, and it was a big surprise party, and it was super, super fun. But I got pretty
wasted.
And I haven't done that in a while, and it was fun. And then we came home and slept for hours
as long as you could.
Yeah, and then
this
rolled
why
out of
recording
bed.
Recording in the evening.
Yeah,
and not earlier today.
And then rolled out of bed and went for a poutine for dinner. And
excellent,
I'm bouncing
food.
Back. Yeah.
Excellent
oh,
hangover
shit,
food.
That's a really good idea.
Oh, the best. It's like it's like the elixir of life. Mm-hmm. That gravy, that melty cheese gravy.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And the hot fried potatoes. Oh man.
And when it's hot with like a ginger ale
with a
or
real
a
cheese curd.
Real Coke.
Oof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So good. La Belle Patate
is the best.
It is good.
It's a mutual obsession.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's one up the street from our place. It's like, it doesn't get used very often because we don't want to
indulge too often.
Yeah. We don't want to, you know. We don't want to get tired of it, but oof, it's there when you need it. I needed it.
There was a pretty good poutine place. It was like a restaurant that just sold French fries and like a million different kinds of French fries with a whole bunch of toppings when I worked at the costume shop.
And oh, it was Fritz? Was it Fritz?
No. Fuck, what was it called? It had some stupid name with fries or some pun or something in the name. But it was right in the train station that I had to go in and out of every day. And I was super pregnant and it was like February.
So of course, he wanted a obviously. Warm plate of potatoes with cheese and gravy on it.
I had to limit myself to once a week, or else I would eat there 5 days a week. I said, Abby, today is your day, and then you cannot come until next Wednesday. I would have to limit myself. And like, they knew my order, and they knew me, it's a pregnant lady, just shoving fries into it. It was cold. I was pregnant and felt gross.
And that commute was not fun.
Eh, it wasn't great.
Yeah. I did it probably an eighth as long as you did, and it was awful.
I got pretty good podcast time in
you did,
listening.
Yeah.
So there's that. There wasn't all
bad
misery.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
But that's me.
Transit commuting. So yeah. So that's
me. I got drunk and I had a poutine. That's great. It was nice. It was good.
And that's sometimes that's all you need. That's all you need.
Get drunk in the mountains and come home with a poutine.
We were in bed by like 11:30 too. Like
even
it was like
better.
Did all our drinking real quick, got it out of our system.
Oh, you were home at 8:30?
Well, no, we stayed up there.
In your 30s drinking. That's not dumb in your 20s drinking. That's smart, efficient in your 30s. You're still having fun.
And you're having
still
good.
Still getting shit faced.
You're having a good glass of wine. And then the bad, and then not so
And then
good
by the fourth one, you don't care.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have.
And some shots, and yeah.
Well, I'm done with shots. But now it's scotch. Now I'll have a scotch.
Oh, there you go.
And
that'll lay a flat on your ass.
Yeah. At least you can sip it.
You can sip it for like an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. You can work on it.
And you're not
yeah.
like pounding back three tequila shots within half an hour.
Yeah. Part of the reason why my husband started drinking scotch is because like if he would just be drinking a vodka or something, like you can just like.
You drink it so fast.
Drink
it back. Yeah.
And Dave makes an old fashioned or something that is a sip and drink.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. Also, like a good, like a nice, dirty, dry gin martini.
Mm.
That's a good sipper.
That's a good way.
Delish.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's me.
Sweet.
I've like just recently realized that I can't drink as much as I used to when I was like 18 years old.
Oh, it's not a fun realization.
But I like it though, because I have an excuse now. And like my friends who are a couple years younger than me, they're like, oh, come out. Like, we're going to like go to a couple parties and like whatever. We'll start drinking around 9. I was like, no, I'm not partying from 9 p.m. till 4 in the morning ever again. That's not happening. I can't operate that way.
It was a very, very special occasion that used to happen for.
It's just like,
and once a year.
Is it the day that you came out of your mother?
Yeah. Is it the day you came out to your mother?
Yes, exactly. Is it your coming out party? Are you turning?
That's a party day.
Are you turning 25? Are you turning 19?
Are your friends getting married?
Yes. Are you guys getting married?
That the last party engaged? That I did like that was at the wedding party and and we partied from Tuesday to Sunday morning.
I know I had one of the worst hangovers of my life the day after Abby's wedding.
Yeah.
For a damn fact.
I was going to say, I don't really remember that.
Because, we don't remember it because we were...
You and I were sharing a little cabin, weren't we? Was it you and me?
No, it was me and Claire. You and Rihanna were
me
sharing
and Rihanna
one.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
Claire from last week.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, good fun. Times.
Yeah, but oh, God. Anyway. That was really fun.
Yeah.
That was like... I've been in a lot of weddings, and Abby's wedding is like number one.
And it was low key. It wasn't crazy, but also, it was fun.
It was the first and only wedding I've been to where I wasn't somebody's child.
Nice. You weren't related to anybody.
Yeah.
You're just friends.
I was a guest.
That's fine.
You're a full-on, full-fledged guest.
Yeah.
You're an adult.
And all the privileges that entails.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
So what have you been up to?
I went to see Kavalia.
Oh, the best show ever. I was seeing these posters all over the
billboard. Tells me.
It says, literally says, the best show ever.
I don't know where else this show tours, or if it does tour at all. I'll let you explain what it is, because it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I want to hear about it.
It is.
It takes over Vancouver once a year, once every couple years.
It is easily the most boring.
Circus? Horse circus? Is that
it's
what we could call
the most boring, gayest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And
I've seen a lot of gay shit.
Yeah. In your 20-something years on this planet.
I thought you were going to say I've seen a lot of boring shit. This one is especially boring. For all the gays.
No, it's just like that combination is so... It was riveting and it was dull all at once.
Interesting.
And
it's a horse dance show.
It is dressage.
Okay.
It is like barrel racing.
Okay.
It's
fun.
Every kind of different kind of horse
riding.
Riding you can do, like English riding, Western riding, trick riding, like all this weird gladiator shit. It's just like
so. It's a horse cabaret.
Horse cabaret, and then and then you add on like
this is a horse cabaret, my friend.
Come to the horse cabaret.
I only know it from the commercials and the billboards, which are fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's this weird mix of like Spanish electronic music.
Okay.
And Lord of the Rings costumes.
What the fuck?
And like.
Yeah, I've seen some like Dothraki looking shit happen.
Oh, yeah. There's
also some like Lord of the Dance.
Lord of the Dance shit.
And then there's like ladies on like who does like the silks.
There's aerialists.
And stuff.
Then there's acrobats. These
so
acrobats are fucking crazy. Then, like, just throw in a group of, like, 10 African dudes who are playing drums and singing in Swahili, or I don't want to
some African language, sure.
Ignorant, but, like, their native tongue. There is no story at all.
That was my first question. Is there a narrative?
There's
or
no
some
narrative
sort of plot that loosely
it's like,
ties
okay,
it together.
We're gonna start the show off, and you're in a forest. You're in like an elvish rainforest with vines hanging from the ceiling, and then the vines are gonna part, and there's a mountainside.
Is it elvish or elfin? Is that the same thing?
I have no idea.
I think elfish is the language, and elfin is like a quality.
You're like an elfin beauty.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Please go on. You're an elfin horse. Please go on.
You're an elfin horse. But it was like I was terrified and stressed and bored all at the same time.
That sounds like a circus. It sounds like that's what would be my experience.
Yeah. It's just like it's like, oh, you're gonna do dressage for 20 minutes.
Oy, oy, oy.
You're gonna
How long have you watched this fucking horse prance around?
A horse
for?
Is gonna prance sideways and everyone's gonna clap. Okay, there we went. The
I get that, it. You can fucking prance.
The thing that brings it home. The thing that brings it home is at the intermission. Me and my friend.
It's so long. There's an intermission.
There's an intermission. This thing is like 2 hours long.
Oh God.
Me and my friend Max, we got out of our seats. We went outside. He had a cigarette. I did not because I don't smoke anymore.
Good for you.
But I was just like, what the fuck
what
was
are
that?
We just watching?
What are we doing here?
And we're standing there and we're listening to the, I was like, I want to listen to what other people think because I want to know if people think that this is as crazy as I think it is.
How many middle-aged mom types were there? 90%?
That was 90% of the audience. Okay. Middle-aged white women wearing shirts with horses on them.
Who loved ponies when they were little. Absolutely.
I just realized that people really fucking love horses.
Oh, yeah. You just realized?
Yes.
Yeah. And like, maybe just because we're girls, and I don't know. I went through a very brief horse period for like grade six for like 5 months, maybe.
I never really
but
did.
But I knew other girls and it's who just were like, obsessed.
I was more into like the cowboys, cowgirl side of.
Sure.
Like Western.
Oh, because you're from an area of the world that has that.
You're from like. What's that?
Cowboy
we're
country.
Digging for gold, like
tanning. Like, you're doing has nothing to do with getting.
No, it's like you're like Pioneerville,
yes.
type deal. Like Jasper is like a mining town, isn't it?
No.
They thought it was, but it didn't have anything in it.
Well, it was a railroad town, and then it was a national park, but
it's part of the world where
it's a go outdoorsy. West young man kind of a location. Yeah. Yes,
so
but it's just like there was a grown ass man. Standing not 5 feet away from me, who said, "I couldn't stop crying during that last episode, during that last section.
He just couldn't hold it in.
He thought it was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen in his life, and a fucking horse was prancing.
I guess that's why it's the best show ever.
That's why it's the best show on earth.
It blows my mind.
Well, here we are, not going to Cavalia like a bunch of chumps.
And the tickets are not cheap, are they?
Oh no, the only reason I went, I didn't pay to go to this thing. Ashley, former guest on the podcast, got them from work for free.
Oh, nice.
And she was like, I'm not fucking going to this. She's like, I don't care enough to go, but I want someone I know to go and report back and tell me how it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then me and Max went.
And that sounds so fun. I would do it. I would not pay for it, but I would go.
Oh, I would for sure go. Yeah.
It was, the aerialists were fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like all
not
that
to
work.
Not to diminish the talent and the hard work.
And like the hard work these people put in to like learn all these tricks and like train the horses and everything is beautiful. But sometimes they get the vibe that the horse doesn't really want to be there.
Weird.
You know?
The horse doesn't want to be on the silk suspended from the ceiling.
Yeah, the horse doesn't want to be like, the horse doesn't want to be running around a dirt patch. You know? And
some
like
asshole
have a
fuck
ton of lights and weird flashing.
There's a guy doing backflips on him or something.
And like see like a crowd of like 300 strangers in front of them.
Oh, really
300 white ladies. Weeping.
Although someone took a flash photo next to me and someone was on them in like 5 seconds. They were like, no flash photography. That is dangerous to the horses and dangerous to the performers.
Fucking duh.
If you do it, she said it. She's like, if you do it again, we're removing you from the stadium. It was really intense. Wow. And I was like, okay.
But you don't fuck around. You know how much money they put in those goddamn horses? They need to recoup their expenses.
Yeah.
Weird.
God.
Oh my God.
It's like a massive, massive tent.
It's this huge tent. Huge.
Oh, the tent. The fact that I'm in a tent is terrifying. What if this thing collapses? Like, I don't like a show that picks up and leaves. Like, I want to be in a building that has
a
foundation.
All right. Yeah. It'll be there next week.
Yeah, like I want to be in the Queen Elizabeth Theater or Rogers Arena. Like, I would have been fine seeing it in like an arena setting. But like the fact that I was in a tent and I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's nothing. Crazy.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Hmm.
Weird.
Yeah. It kind of looked like the set for a Chanel fashion show. That's the first thing that I said when I walked in.
Interesting.
I was like, oh, this would make a beautiful catwalk.
Like the fucking rocket ship
yes,
taking
that recently happened. Oh God.
Yeah. Can you hear my eyes rolling?
Yeah.
Carl. So revolutionary. Carl.
Like, why doesn't Chanel open like a charity and fund some of that?
I thought
money?
You were going to say a theme park.
Get your picture with Choupette.
Chanel should open a fucking museum in Paris.
Yeah, spend your money, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yoy.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway.
Abby, what have you been up to?
Oh, man, I went to IKEA by myself.
Oh, shit.
That was my update this week. I needed a dresser. So then after the kids went to bed, because IKEA's open until like 9 or something, and I drove out just to like the closest one in the suburbs, because we have two we can go to, and I drove out to the one in Richmond, and Just walked around.
Nice. Do you get a hot dog?
They also
and a
have great music in IKEA. Like they play like Depeche Mode and David Bowie and like Blondie and like all these old awesome songs. And I'm just walking around.
Sitting buying, on the couches.
Buying dish brushes and picture frames. And I had a very short list and I didn't deviate too much from the list. But it was a good time. Took my time. Yeah. I splurged the extra 50 cents and got a sundae instead of an ice cream cone.
Nice.
So I got some lingonberry sauce on the top of it.
Delish.
And it was great. It was marvelous.
That IKEA cafeteria. Oh, it's genius.
So good.
I've only ever been once.
It's so good. Normally, yeah. Every time we go, we try to hit up for a meal, and you get meatballs and French fries.
Yeah.
Is what you do.
Yeah.
With a bunch of gravy. But this time I didn't go to the restaurant because I went so late. But it's like a thing. It's a tradition in my family to go, and then or you get the hot dog special.
Yes,
like a Pepsi and a Coke for $2 or whatever at the end.
For 82
so great.
Cents.
And, yeah. And it's not bad for 80 cents.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
A hot dog and a sundae, that would be my top pick.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Although the meatballs
and
are
and
really
a fountain
good.
Pop.
Yeah.
Oh, the French fries.
I did the meatballs.
The French fries and the gravy are a real good combo. But, and then I came home and I tried to put this damn dresser together and it was...
Work in progress.
Oh, God. And I love putting together IKEA furniture. I know so many people hate it. I love it. You get the little illustrations, you get all the tools, you build it yourself, you feel a sense of accomplishment. I've been building it. We're a very IKEA heavy loving family in my house. So I've been putting together IKEA furniture for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty good at it. I'm not thrown for a loop you know, and I know what to pay attention to and yada yada yada.
Because a lot of the same mechanisms are in like a lot of different products.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's the same screws and you have to look for the holes and make sure it's top side, left side. And I'm also pretty decent, which is why I like sewing at 3D thinking. Like I can see the left and the right. And if you flip it on its head, like I can picture it and change it in my head. So I have that skill. But oh my God, I'm like my daughter's like, what are you doing, mama? What's that? What are you doing? I'm screwing. And then Dave laughs. What are you doing, mama? Still screwing. What are you doing? What's that? Screwdriver. What is it for? Screwing. It's like, fuck.
Go to bed. Go back to bed.
It's 3 p.m. Go to bed. And I'm like, just throw the iPad at her. And I'm like, and then she asked me to fix something. I'm like, where's your father? What's happening? Can't you go bug him?
So he's watching Peppa Pig
by himself. Yeah, the baby's asleep. He's watching Peppa Pig by himself in the room. Marco's bugging me. And I would only be able to do it in like 20-minute increments. And like today, I had a whole bunch of drawers that needed to be put together, and they all involved hammering. And there was always a fucking kid asleep every time. I was like, okay, I have 5. I'm like, oh, one of them is asleep. God damn it. So we'll see. Maybe in a couple months, I might actually have the set of drawers put together. If I do it 10 minutes at a time.
We're shooting for July.
Yeah, there you go. Meanwhile, my secondborn's clothing is just in an IKEA bag in the dining room. Just loose. And they're not even in the IKEA bag anymore because I just keep doing laundry and just throwing it on top of the IKEA bag.
You'll get there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
The parenting thing is
you should call in
not
the
black and white.
No, it's not. No. It's, you learn every day.
Exactly.
You take it as she comes. So that was my my fun times. Oh, but good now stuff. Now we can segue from the silly Kiki talk.
Enough of this Kiki.
That was a long ass Kiki.
Time for the tea.
Time for what we're talking about here, and we decided to talk about fashion bloggers and how they work and who they are and how it happened and
how they changed the face of fashion forever.
Yeah, exactly. Is
Pretty
it good?
Much.
Is it bad? I don't know. Bit of both.
But we're gonna talk about it. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. So it happened, I think, like one of the, I was doing a little bit of research on it, and it seems to, people seem to agree that in about 2004, these personal style blogs started appearing all over the world, and they were just like bedroom selfies. And this is even before selfies existed.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know,
it's like
Instagram.
The outfit of the day is out.
Yeah.
What is that? OOTD?
OOTD.
Outfit. Yeah.
So it would just be a girl with no affiliation to the actual fashion industry. She's just a fashion enthusiast a lot of the time. Sometimes they worked in fashion. Sometimes they aspired to work in fashion. They would just put cool outfits together and find cool products and beauty stuff and take pictures of themselves.
And talk about the thing that they liked.
And
that
just
they
talked
saw
about
whatever
they liked and had no... It was very not serious.
It was totally
grassroots, and it was just kind of
like,
an
they weren't like Kathy Horan, who is the fashion critic for the New York Times.
There's no training required to start a blog.
No.
Which is
or like affiliation with an actual entity or brand or anything either, right? Yeah. So, and I think 2004 and then 2000, you know, and then between that and 2009 started to ramp up.
Yeah.
And by
when
the time
When did Nine Repeller start?
Oh,
I don't know.
2008, probably.
Yeah, I think. Probably around 2008. I think I tried to look.
I'm trying to think of the ones that we.
And by the time we were, by the time we were at school in 2010,
there was a fuck ton.
There was a fuck ton of them, and they were, if not pretty established, then getting to be pretty established.
This is when like Vogue started writing articles about fashion bloggers in more of a serious context.
And they were sitting in the front rows of fashion shows.
And all of a sudden,
Style Rookie and Tavi Gevinson, 14-year-old wonderkind, start showing up, and everyone's like, who the fuck is this
14-year-old girl sitting next to Anna Wintour?
Yeah, and turns out she's, you know, tapping into a huge market that these big companies did not ever even clue to pay attention to.
Yeah.
They didn't know it existed.
Yeah. There's this story of Tavi Gevinson sitting in the front row at a Dior show with a huge bow on her head.
Yeah.
And then like actual real fashion journalists having to watch the show with their field of vision completely obstructed by this fucking dumbass bow that Tavi wore. And I think it was Grazia magazine, which is like a super famous Italian fashion magazine was like pissed and like kept tweeting about having to look at the show.
They like tweeted a photo
head.
Of like them from behind
from
her.
Behind her. Yeah.
This is our view today at the blank show.
Thanks
for this great seat.
Thanks, Galliano.
Was it the Galliano show for Dior?
It was.
Yeah.
So, oh.
But that's interesting, like talking about these big companies and how you don't have to be affiliated with anyone, anything, anywhere to have a blog. It will not necessarily be good and
sure,
might
or interesting,
not get any
or, yep.
readership at all.
Yeah.
But all you need is an internet connection to start a blog.
And a keyboard, and it's like, yeah,
that's it. So,
and a camera.
You don't even need a camera. You can
you
pull
just take images
from wherever you want. You don't need, I mean, you shouldn't.
Use Google, yeah.
But that's, you don't need any skill. And it's interesting, I was talking with my friend who is a fashion blogger. Her name is Lindy. She runs a blog called Style by Fire, or pardon me, Style Calling. Here in Vancouver. Check it out. It's really nice. Good little blog. But anyway, she was saying that like we were talking about it just this morning and about how you don't like what you read on fashion blogs is not there's no like checked sources necessarily. You're not getting like what you're reading is information. It is not truth. It's not fact.
Yeah.
It's just information and primarily opinion.
Yeah.
And so you can't trust this to be accurate.
It's not a source.
Yeah. I mean, but now
it's a gigantic op-ed.
It is. Yeah. And, but it's for a lot of people, it does matter.
Yeah.
And for fashion blogging, truthfully, it doesn't really matter for the most part what you're talking about because 9 times out of 10, you're talking about trends or who wore what or what's happening this
what
season.
What new purse you bought or, yeah.
Yeah, what designer did this. And
this lipstick that someone sent you and they want to pay you to promote it.
Yes. And well, sponsored content is
a huge part. That's the thing, too. Is like when it started out, these people weren't doing anything. Like
they were doing it all just
all on their own. Like people... Yeah. I was trying to think of some old ones, like Man Repeller, who's been doing it for a long time, Leandra Medine, and Susie Lau, who did Style Bubble.
Yeah.
Brian Boy. Oh, God, I loved Brian Boy for the longest time.
Does he still do it? I haven't seen it.
I don't even know. Mark Jacobs ended up naming a bag after him.
Right. I remember
that. That's how big he got. And he was on America's Next Top Model.
But he was also just a street style photographer, right?
He was just like a Filipino gay boy who loved fashion and like took terrible pictures of himself. He just loved it.
I thought he took pictures like of street style and posted. Oh, they were all
his. He took pictures of himself.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a narcissistic lady boy. But
well, I can do it in fashion, that's for sure.
Oh man, I love the only place you can get away with Brian Boy for the longest time. I'm like, all these super serious, like blonde Scandinavian women, yeah, like taking pictures of themselves in skinny jeans. I'm like, no. Show me the guy from the Philippines with the Dior or the horrible Dior bag.
Yeah,
and he'd do these poses where he'd just like throw his arms out and shove his head back and stuff, and it's super unflattering. And oh god, he was like super sassy and had a lot of attitude, and I loved you, Brian Boy. I still love you.
Wherever you are.
But they was just like enthusiasts,
yeah,
right? Who just figured out that they had this outlet that they could talk to, and then would find like-minded people who were also fashion enthusiasts, who were on the outside of fashion, and they could talk to each other.
And then the industry started to catch up and be like, oh, these people are
getting traffic.
Here's this thing called influencers.
Yes, exactly.
So then that changed how, like, I almost feel like blogger or blogging is like, it's not like a bad word, but it's like, it doesn't carry the same weight as it used to. It's not as, now it's like, oh, it's a blog. Like, blogs aren't as big of a deal.
Yeah.
Unless they're tied to like a brand.
Sure.
Like, I think some brands can do really good stuff with their blogs. Things like Goop.
Yeah. Look what she's created with that blog or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
I guess it's a blog, but it's like also a shopping.
Yeah. Situation. Well, that's the thing now. Like, the lines were blurred, right? There was the sponsored content and stuff. And after
a while, it didn't take long for them to realize that they could create their own products and endorse their own products and make their own money.
And collaborate on their own with their own names, mm-hmm, and things. So I think it was 2009 in the United States. What did I have here? The, what is it called? The Federal Trade Commission started to require them to disclose whether they were getting compensated from brands, whether it being money or product.
And this is different than ads being played, yes, on their blogs. Like, that's a different, mm-hmm, that's a different thing.
It's
lots of times if you have a free, if you're not paying to host your blog, there will be ads showing up on it. Like, yeah. I, Redbird Suite, which is a blog that I started when I went to fashion school.
You had little ads
that come, because I didn't pay for it. I just was hosted for free. I eventually started paying for it, but
yeah.
Well, I don't care. Like, put an ad up. I don't give a shit.
It's, yeah, not,
yeah. I mean, it doesn't really
get off your back.
It's not like it's like a huge flashing.
But also, like, the, yeah, ad, it's so interesting because the ads that show up on your blog are targeted to what those people think your
it's
reader
not just anything.
Want.
Of course. So it wouldn't be like,
it's going to be like an Arc'teryx ad, or it's going to be something for fashion. It's going to be like the newest eyeglasses campaign or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not going to be fly fishing,
yeah, exactly,
stuff or,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's not going to be tickets to Cavalia.
I don't know. Oh, man. So, yeah. So, this is 2010-ish, and 2011, this thing called Reward Style was created. This website where it's just a platform for bloggers to monetize by counting clicks or getting product or starting to make appearances. Like, there were some bloggers who could like ask for like 20 grand to show up somewhere,
yeah,
or 50 grand for a collaboration with the brand. This is the Ellen Kling and fucking whatever Puma crossover, yeah, whatever it was. And they could get a shitload of money.
Would not. Well, most bloggers would not.
Yes. The very few
but
would
that's
get.
The thing
but is, like, there was a there few was of them few. Who would make like $1 million.
Yeah.
For sure. And so then everyone's like, well, they're making,
this is a thing.
They can do it. I can
yeah,
do it.
Yeah. And then now we have a sea of fashion bloggers who are bastardizing the very nature of fashion.
Yes. Which is what people argued that the bloggers did 10 years ago. And now Instagram has come and changed it yet again. Because now, I mean, I think in 2014, I read in this article on Racked that I found, Robin Givan, who wrote this article in New York Magazine, declared the era of bloggers over.
Right.
In 2014.
Which in 2014,
kind of,
really?
In 2014. And that also kind of, I don't forget when Instagram was invented, but it,
but it was around, it was when around then. Started to kick off.
And then even in the last year, 18 months, all the fashion shit that's on there and big brands and everybody's got an Instagram account and everybody's posting selfies of themselves. Or getting their boyfriend or whatever, setting the timer on their, yeah, phone, their cameras, yeah, to take higher and pictures, you know, higher end pictures of themselves, and it's become super slick. Like, part of the reason why fashion blogging was cool to start out with is because it was super DIY and grassroots, and it was just these people doing
it
themselves.
With their opinions. The opinion was what made it so fascinating and engaging.
Well, now it's just these super slick websites and pictures, and where are you being seen? And it's fallen into all these tropes that the fashion industry
just keeps on turning
out. Yeah. So, I mean, on the one hand, yes, accessibility, and everybody can do it, and everybody has a voice, and the democratization
of fashion.
Exactly. But on the other hand, it's also diluting the talent pool.
And it's also, most of those big time followers, like lots of those, the numbers that you see on like however many followers are purchased. They are purchased.
You can buy your followers.
And that's not uncommon at all. We've had people or like,
oh, we've know, had bullshit. Exactly. Like that, follow like, me for more followers. Yeah. Or
you know, I probably get one email a month from a company that says that they can, if for this amount of money, they can get me 3,000 followers within 30 days. Like for my company.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, because I don't want 3,000 people who aren't engaged in my work looking at me on Instagram. That's not like the way I want to be using these platforms. Like if someone follows me, I want it for them to find it on their own volition.
To actually follow it, yeah.
And like, well, that's the thing too. Like
you know, and I hear about this from the young folks, you know, from a generation or two below me, like the numbers, how many followers do you have? Yeah. How many likes do you get? I know this isn't a new thing because it started with Facebook, and Instagram is just this like culmination of it all, and that whole horrible aspect of it is it's just the numbers. You don't care about who these people are or if they're engaging with you or
if they're even real.
You're making relationships with them or if they're just
there's
like
a lot
bots,
of fake
right?
Accounts. Yeah.
It happened with Twitter too. I mean, Twitter's been doing this for 10 years. It's a thing. How many followers do you get? And you check every day. Oh, I've lost one. Oh, I've gained three. You know, and people drive themselves crazy over this stuff.
And the thing is with, I think now it was like with blogs and stuff when they first started like gaining momentum and people started to take notice. It was like those numbers actually have started to mean something and can affect your bottom line.
Yeah.
So now it's like, oh shit. Okay. How can we up our numbers? How can we engage more? How can we, you know, get more clicks and more likes and more, you know, attention for this?
Yeah.
It's
a metric that you can then use some sort of algorithm. I mean, if you can't directly monetize because of it, then you could still spin it or use it in a press release or in a whatever, some sort of PR thing, or when you're, you know, looking for financing, you can say, oh, our Instagram account has 40,000 subscribers and yada yada yada, or you know, my blog has,
we have these many impressions a week, like on average.
Yeah,
it's just like,
and
why
interactions
do you,
with people,
like why do you think like Vogue and Chanel and Dior and Hermes are creating so much digital content?
Yeah.
The Savoir Faire videos, the behind the scenes of the fashion show. The entire fashion show is online within an hour.
Does Chanel need an Instagram account? Probably not.
Live streaming fashion shows. Like, this is what we're talking about. When I started consuming fashion, which was maybe a little over a decade ago, I watched shows 3 to 6 months after they happened.
Yeah.
Because that's how we had to.
That's
how
it
worked. There was no such thing as live stream. And now I can sit down at 3 a.m. in my house and watch the Louis Vuitton show.
Yeah.
As it's happening.
You can get on Instagram while the show is happening and see updates from people who are sitting in the front
row.
And multiple views and multiple perspectives.
You can go to these bloggers. You can go to Tavi's Instagram or whatever.
Hashtags.
And she can be live streaming the show from her seat. So you get her from her point of view.
Yeah, periscoping this shit. Yeah.
And it's easy to sort of like scoff at it and be like, oh, all these bloggers and these influencers and blah, blah, blah. It's like, but these people are generating business. They wouldn't be sitting in the front row if they weren't making
pulling
that
some
company
weight.
Money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just straight up. That's why Tavi Evanson was in the front row. She had a bazillion million followers.
Yeah. Star Rookie was a big deal.
Huge deal. She was really young. Her blog was cool. It was obviously cool. It wouldn't have survived if it wasn't. But they also would have, like these companies would have been able, or Vogue and, you know, all these big brands would have been able to see that, oh, this girl is young. She is tapped into a market that is only going to increase her purchasing power starting right now.
It's also
calculated and it's smart and it all goes back to the bottom line.
She's also tapping into a market that feels alienated by the general fashion
industry
media.
Totally. Yeah.
Which is the crux of the matter. Vogue should have bought Tavi Gevinson like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They should have bought her blog. They should have given her her own magazine and they would be raking in money right now with her. But Vogue was so fucking late to the digital game. I don't think they can jump back from that. Like, it's...
Yeah, they
like,
have to wait for the next big thing yeah, and Vogue, act like, sooner and learn from their mistakes.
It's just like Vogue is becoming more irrelevant as the days go by. It's the it's the truth.
They're trying to get on the podcast train. They're trying to get on blogs. And they're trying to, you know...
Like, Teen Vogue is picking up speed.
Yeah. Teen Vogue is like, kicking ass. It's kicking ass, the, and they have cool content and they're like...
Everything.
They're doing cool research.
The spreads,
they're doing good...
The people that they represent in their magazine...
Yeah,
it's just like they had the most amazing editorial. It was in the magazine. It was printed. It was the concept was kind of childish, but it was like how to like dress like a twin with your significant other.
Oh yeah.
But within that group, there was gay boys, there was lesbians, and they were all teenagers, and they're representing LGBT teens. They're representing multiracial,
millennial,
real life multiracial people.
Like groups of friends who are just like, oh, you don't need to have a boyfriend to feel great. You have all of your friends and you guys can dress as a big group and like it brings you together and you're consuming fashion. And they're mixing pieces like H&M with like a Louis Vuitton jacket. That's
sure,
like $3,000
or whatever.
And they're mixing vintage. And they're like, the message is just like, is so calculated. And then they're also making so many political posts and they're being more on brand in
that way.
And, like, and they're speaking to their reader. I guess Vogue is speaking to their reader, but their reader isn't relevant anymore.
Their reader has been reading Vogue since
oblivious
since
white rich ladies who don't give a fuck about anything.
I feel
anything
like I complain too much about white people in general, so I was just going to let you go.
As two white girls, we can talk about
that. We'll take that.
We can share that. We'll take that. Yeah. We'll own that.
But I think, the readers of Vogue have been reading, for the most part, have been reading Vogue since they were in their early 20s, mm-hmm. and now they're in their 60s.
Yeah.
So, what they're doing is still on brand for their customer, but it's not revolutionary.
It's not evolving.
No. It's not evolving.
It's not relevant. It's not relevant to the world that we live in.
Yeah. Well, it's not relevant to us.
Yeah, exactly. Like us, like this generation
new
of people who are consuming fashion.
Yeah.
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 It's just like... Oh God!
Give the times, Vogue.
Come on, Anna. Just like you need to like do a little CPR on this bitch.
It will be interesting to see eventually when she retires.
What happens?
Which way they go? Yeah.
What happens? Here's hoping they get somebody younger. And
how about we have an American woman running an American magazine?
Oh,
what about that?
That's crazy.
Who knows?
That's
crazy.
Yeah, it's just like one of the reasons.
Who knows
why.
If one of these bloggers in 10 years is going to be able to be in a position to be an editor?
Exactly. What if Tavi Gevinson in like 20 to 30 years.
She's too busy acting.
She's an actress now.
Oh, she's acting now?
Yes. Okay, maybe not her. But like, someone who,
I don't know. Fashion Toast. Rumi Neely was doing shit forever.
Yeah.
Did Alexa Chung ever have a blog? No, she was just like an it girl who...
Yeah, she was a pretty face and a cool horse.
And
a
super rich British chick who had a billion connections.
Million connections, yeah.
I was having an interesting...
the Lena Dunham of fashion.
Yeah. I, at this party last night, was my friend's 14-year-old nieces. There were these two twin girls and fraternal twins. So I was like, I'm a fraternal twin. You guys are stuck at this adult party. Are you guys having a horrible time? Like, just sort of like,
you
know, trying to engage with them.
And we were talking about like, we talked for like 2 hours. I actually had like a super fun time with these girls.
How old are they?
14.
Great.
Which is the worst age ever.
Oh, to be 14? Oh, it's the worst. The worst.
I would sooner gnaw my leg off than be 14
I would,
again.
I know. They were dragged to this party with their parents.
Yeah.
I was like, are you guys okay? Like, ugh.
I feel
you. Yeah. Let's hash this out. And I was like pretty drunk. So I was like, what are you guys going to talk about?
Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about school and this and that. And like, I was like, well, what do you guys like? And this was like, I didn't, you know, jump this question on them like right off the bat.
Yeah.
We got to the
panel.
Like, well, do you guys have any idea of what direction, like, what do you guys want to do? Like when you leave school, like, what are you guys interested in? And they both said like forensics and like criminology and stuff. And I was like, fucking do it.
Yes.
That's the coolest shit ever. Do that. And then the one girl was like, well, like if you can't be like, you know, it'd be cool to be like a YouTube star and like make some money on the YouTube. And I was like, no, fuck YouTube. I was swearing all over the place. It was pretty
great. Oh, great.
But I was like, no, don't Don't
aspire to be like these assholes.
There's nothing cool about that. Those people have empty, boring, dumb lives.
It's not going to give you anything in your life.
No, you're not going to be contributing to anything worth contributing to. It's not fun. It doesn't take any talent. And it's not, you're never going to, like, odds are.
Doesn't mean anything.
You're not going to be that person. You're not going to make $1 million. This is not the answer. I was like, go do the thing that you want to go do. And that's super fucking dope. And like, fuck YouTube. It's like the same thing. I was like, well, I'm going to be an Instagram influencer. No, you're not. Like, you're not.
People who are Instagram influencers fell into it.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Or they were born into the right family.
Yeah.
Yeah, they live in the right city.
Or they're Alexa Chung.
You
get to go to places where you can take really beautiful photos of you on vacation, and you can take really beautiful photos of all the really expensive shit you bought.
Yeah.
And you're really pretty, and you're just like, it's a real.
And you tag and hashtag the shit out of it.
And you're friends with this person who has this many followers, and you're in a network of people.
And you are one of a million people who think that they can do it, and you're the one person who did.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to happen. It was like, I was like, no, like, you're doing it wrong.
You can carve out your place in the world without having, like, 30,000 Instagram followers.
Yeah. I was pumped, like, when they were like, yeah, forensics, that's, I was like, that's fucking awesome. Do that. That sounds so cool.
And then
they're like,
interesting work.
And they're like, well, maybe, you know.
I play the ukulele and I have a computer.
But I was pumped that they said the cool thing first. And I was like, oh, that's what you actually want to do.
Yeah.
But this other alternative looks like a feasible option for you.
Yeah.
Which is backwards, but of course it does. I mean, when you go on Instagram Snapchat.
Look at the value that people see, you know, I forget where it was. And I'm totally pulling the numbers out of my ass, but the amount of people who like aspire to, quote, be famous.
Oh,
it's like risen like 200% in the last 30 years or something. Like, that's an aspiration.
Yeah.
Like, sure, I wanted to be famous, but also not.
I did not want to.
That's not a job thing. Mm-hmm. That's not going to come out on an aptitude test when you go see your guidance counselor.
Yeah.
And like, being famous, that's not a thing.
And also, being famous for what? There's lots of ways to be famous.
But also,
lots
you can talk to most famous people. Being famous really fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. I'd rather, if someone wanted me to pick success or fame, I would pick success
a million times over.
Yeah, money or fame.
And that's the
money.
That's the thing we're looking at, like times we're living in now, is that it's just, the fame is
people
and people like Instagram just perpetuating these. I want to be seen.
Yeah,
I deserve to be seen.
Yeah,
like, well,
so I wonder how much blogging and the whole blogosphere and blogiverse and all this shit. I wonder how much of that contributed to the place that we are now with Instagram and Snapchat. Like, how, I guess it was probably just a natural progression, but that you know, wide availability to just start a blog. You can start an Instagram account. You can start a Snapchat account, and people are going to pay attention or they aren't.
Yeah.
And as you say, like, getting the numbers up, like, people get so obsessed with their numbers and the clicks and the likes and the comments and blah, blah, blah. But I wonder how much, like, if it costs money, for example, if it costs money to start a blog, I wonder how many there would be.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's weird. Do you guys read any blogs anymore?
I was just trying to think.
I only read Business and Fashion and Women's Wear Daily.
I read, like, industry stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, and Searching for Style.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
even at the height of these things, I probably only read regularly probably about 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
I read the most is when we were in school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read like 15 blogs every single
week. Then I read like Fashionista and Racked and Women's Wear Daily and Business of Fashion, like things that are actually industry based as opposed to pretty girls in high heels.
Exactly.
I'm not crazy about, because it's a lot of pretty girl in high heels.
But what I like about Business of Fashion is that they'll curate, they have like a weekly digest from other sources.
Yeah, their email updates. If you're actually interested in what's happening in the industry, sign up for the Business of Fashion daily or weekly email updates, and they will send you the most important, the most interesting,
the most relevant things.
From like New York Times and Women's Wear Daily.
Yeah.
And it's cultural. It's
there
business.
Was a really fascinating article. It was kind of like, we shouldn't be talking about this because there's more important things to talk about. But they discussed what a Trump administration would mean for the American fashion industry on a global scale, and even just the perception of American fashion because of what's happening in America, and like if it could bastardize Made in America.
Right. Yeah, will it make it better or will it make it worse?
Because of his slogan, for one thing, Make America Great Again.
Yeah.
It's like nobody wants to buy Made in America anymore. And then they also discuss the demise of American apparel at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, and like look at article.
Like Ivanka Trump, people like she's been dropped from Nordstrom. She's been dropped from wherever the hell else.
Yeah.
That she was dropped from.
Did the Bay drop her?
Yeah, maybe the Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but the Bay is owned by, no, the Bay owns Saks Fifth Avenue in the States.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how much the social media stuff can affect things like that. Like it's for the longest time with these fashion bloggers, it was like a one way system, you know, like it went down. Whereas now it's kind of, it's trickling up and down.
It turned from like a shower into a washing machine. Everything is just like tumbling
around,
and
we're all touching
just
each
like,
other.
We're all just and, flying around and like trying to stay afloat and trying to get a little bit of air. And it's just like, it's a lot to like be in fashion right now. And like, this is kind of just a personal hypothesis of mine. Like when I'm thinking about like trying to be all like intellectual about fashion, like, you know, be a fashion
like
nerd.
Evan does. Yes.
Like, I don't know, like, it, like, I just want to say, like, it's sometimes it's very difficult to work in fashion when you care about what's going on in the world because fashion is stupid.
Right. Yeah, and it's very contrary to a lot of the things that you want to care about.
Because at the end of the day, like, you can talk to anyone who works in fashion and they'll be the first person to tell you that fashion is useless and stupid and nobody needs new clothes.
And superfluous.
And superfluous. But I feel like the way that fashion can contribute to a movement or a time or can be like a snapshot.
A zeitgeist, culture or whatever,
It can excite something. Fashion is losing that power because of the way fashion is going now. When bloggers are coming on, and the original bloggers had a lot of, like, Tavi Gevinson and Susie Bubble, they all had a really firm opinion. And even Tommy Tan and all these people.
Tommy Tan.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
And, like, what's the dude who takes those amazing street style photos?
Sartorialist.
That style.
Yeah.
Now there are fashion bloggers all over the fucking
and
world.
And magazines.
Who are ripping
off. Doing the exact same thing.
Vogue rips off the style of street photography for their editorials
all
now.
The time.
All the time, yeah.
And it's just like,
it's the new gray background.
It's the new gray background in Vogue. A girl walking down a street in a crosswalk, jumping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking over her shoulder.
We're looking over her shoulder and
the bag
is perfectly positioned. The hair is perfectly positioned. Yeah. The nail is there. You can see the bangle.
Yeah, the pleats on the skirt.
The pleats on the skirt are perfection. It's been photoshopped to high heaven. But I'm sorry, I'm getting tangent. But I just feel like even like what is considered good fashion now, what is most critically acclaimed by people like Robin Givens or Kathy
Horan and stuff. The actual
people.
Real Tim Blanks is huge, big,
like,
journalists and stuff.
It
who
is,
are
like
the
Vet
Ma
is the poster child for modern fashion. And it
doesn't bode well.
And we all know our opinion on Vet Ma.
But the other
it
thing too,
always comes back to Vet Ma.
The other thing is, though, like all things in fashion in particular, it is a pendulum.
Yeah.
It swings in one direction and then it
comes back the other way.
Everyone rejects it when it gets to that point and then it comes back the other way. So this might just be, you know, at some point where we're approaching the end of this pendulum swing and it'll get worse before it gets better.
And then it'll change. Yeah.
So who knows what'll happen when Instagram eventually becomes uncool. Like then where do you go?
Then
what's it going to be? Then it'll be back to, you know, taking actual photographs and having them shown in an art show
or designers that are not having any cameras allowed or no live streaming or no nothing, like Tom Ford and so Tommy Hilfiger was doing it too, and there's a couple people, Prince of Schooler guys are doing it, like they see it like they're losing control and they're losing the grip on it,
they're moving their show to the couture schedule.
Yeah.
But they're selling ready to wear.
Yeah. So they're trying stuff out. They're trying to shake it.
They're trying to align their brand with the only thing that's left in fashion that has any credibility.
It has any heritage and
that has any credibility on an artistic standpoint within the art community, within an intellectual community.
Yeah.
because
even within within and with like outside of fashion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because the only clothes that you'll see in the Met is couture or vintage clothing from a vintage from a fashion
from a
house,
huge brand, yeah,
or from this designer who's doing this amazing thing that takes like 800 hours to complete.
Yeah.
Like, if we're, if in like 50 years we have an Aritzia exhibit at the Met, then we'll know fashion has failed and we have nowhere to go. But like, that's not going to happen, because the only way like the arts community is going to take fashion seriously is if we take ourselves seriously. And I think that the democratization of fashion is, it's kind of like bastardizing fashion in a way. Like, and I think, like, yeah, we all digest, like, the three of us digest fashion in a very different way than the average person.
Yeah.
It, it means more to us. We see it as more of, like, a look into the times. And we, and especially in fashion history, you can look back and it's so interesting. Like, just for this, for example, you can look now and the things that are on the runway are very reminiscent of the 60s and the 70s. And what
Speaking
was happening?
Karl Lagerfeld's stupid rocket,
yeah,
rocket ship. That was it. That was 60s throwback. That was space race, yeah. 60s, Cold War.
Yeah.
That was up.
And look
up.
What's happening in the fucking world right now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Look at what's happening in politics. Around. Look what's happening. There's an uprising of the feminist movement, the human, the
look
civil rights movement.
Look at the pink hats. The pink hats.
Pussy
thing.
Hats. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's just like.
And that's the thing,
and the feminist, like, the future is female on the runway, which was a ripoff from a show from the 1970s. But in any case, that kind of stuff
made
being on the runway.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. It's that fashion has the ability to be empowering and inspiring and interesting and intellectual. And then some dumb fuck takes a picture of herself making fucking duck lips in the bathroom mirror.
Yeah. By
and
Kylie Lipkit.
Yeah.
The Coco K shade. We have it in matte and we have it in glitter. Or I don't know what the fuck the terminology is.
So, yeah.
You know?
It's like, frustrating.
Buy this skinny tee using my promo code skinny.
Yeah, suck my dick.
Kylie
yeah.
skinny.
Yeah. Use promo code Kylie to get 10% off the skinny tee that will probably give you some sort of disease.
Yeah, your UTI at the very least. Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm not supposed to be sitting in it? Oh, okay. Oh.
Get your new Kylie UTI prescription medication. Use the promo code Kylie UTI.
No, Kim Kardashian got sued for promoting a medication on her Instagram.
Oh God!
She was like, it was for
a step too far, Kim. A step too
something
far
for pregnancy. Ugh. Yeah, because it wasn't like CFDA approved or something.
Yeah, well, probably. Yeah, probably for the best reason. Then. Yeah, not Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, it's just like that. Ugh, is,
like
that
prescription
is
medication as a trend in
line.
Fashion.
Right,
we are getting closer and closer to a fucking Hunger Games civilization as the days go by.
Man,
Mark, like this fucking like American Ninja Warrior bullshit. That is the fucking Hunger Games.
No, I'm Mad Max. You mean the Mad Max? I like the desert. Oh, the Mad Max style.
The clothes are
I
better.
I can shave my hair. You know, cut my hair real short.
There you go.
I really think. And this is going to, I'm sorry to the costume designer, but I think the Hunger Games series would have been better if the costumes were better.
You didn't like the costumes?
I didn't like the costumes.
I didn't like them either. They needed to be more Mad Max-y.
Yeah, they needed to be more futuristic.
Yeah.
They were like, we'll do a little futuristic, but like.
Yeah, it felt more in the past than in the future.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're
yeah.
Right.
I'm like, give me more Effie Trinket shit.
Yeah.
I want more weird Alexander McQueen dresses.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Give me a sharp shoulder and an angle something.
Give me...
Oh, you're wearing a military coat? Way to go, Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was so boring.
And a really bad wig.
It was hella boring. Yeah,
terrible wig. Anyway, we are talking tangents.
I know we started on blogging and we have gone a full spectrum.
And we're talking about Julianne Moore's wig.
It comes back to wigs.
We always come back to Vetmon and we always come back to wigs.
That's what it is.
Yeah, just like in closing... Just look at the state of fashion now and you can see why we've gotten here. Why Kim Kardashian is a fashion plate.
And also look at the state of politics and what's happening in culture.
Economics.
And it'll be on the runway.
Oh, yes, mama. Yep.
It always ends up there.
Sooner or later, it'll be on there.
Well, we are running. We're running into our time here, so we should take a break.
And we'll come back.
Take a breath. Take a break.
We'll probably come back to this. Several times in some form or another.
Yeah, there you go. And maybe Evan can talk about his obsession, which is also Cavalia, weirdly enough. No, I'm kidding.
Can't get it off my brain.
Oh, we're back and we're cursing daylight savings.
Yeah.
This is so stupid.
Get rid of it, people. Let's do it.
Let's just have a...
One person, one province, one state, one country just needs to decide and everybody else will fall in line.
That's true.
The only reason it still exists is apparently like the Chamber of Commerce in every country is like, or I guess in the States and Canada, it's like, oh, there's an extra hour for people to shop. An extra daylight.
How much revenue are you really getting though?
None, because everyone's too fucking tired to leave their house.
Oh, yoy. And Europe does it like 2 weeks later. Like it's not even like a thing.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
It's not even an agreed upon thing.
This isn't a scientific thing. This is like...
It's totally arbitrary.
Well, apparently they started it to save money during the war as well. To save energy during the war.
Oh, wow.
That was another reason.
Just put clocks and just let it happen.
Yeah.
Just let it happen. Everybody's got iPhones now. We're all on Apple time, whether you like it or not.
Sunset should be at the same time.
What does Cupertino tell us the time is? Yeah. And we'll just all agree that that's what we're going for.
I agree that there should still be time zones.
Of course.
Absolutely.
But daylight savings is dumb.
And time zones are two different things.
It's like the penny.
Yes. We're obsessed with those stupid daylight savings times.
Yeah.
Fuck daylight savings.
So now, to get out of things that we don't like, we'll get into things we love and are obsessing about.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Oh, you guys. Chris and I, my husband and I,
we get it,
two times in the last, in the last like 3 days have made rosemary rock salad bagels from scratch, Montreal style. And I don't think I can buy another bagel. I think that's it.
Rosemary and rock salt is a great combination with just butter on it, toasted.
Ooh. Ugh. They're so, so good. It's just white bread. But it's so good.
You make it into the rounds.
It's way easier to make than bread. Like it takes way less time to make than bread. It's like a little more involved to do it, like the start to finish, because you gotta make the dough and then you gotta let it sit for like 10 minutes and then you gotta, you know, shape them and then you got them sit and then you gotta boil them. But it takes like maybe an hour and a half from start to finish.
And then you get delicious bagels at the end.
And then you get delicious, hot, like chewy, salty, Montreal style bagels.
Nice.
Oh, you guys. So I'm gonna get
Katie's in love.
First question, why didn't you bring us bagels?
Because we,
because he ate them all.
You're super hungover.
Yeah. Well, we made them yesterday to take up to Whistler for the birthday party, and we stayed at my friend's house. And her parents always do this amazing breakfast spread in the morning. It's like the best part of going up to Whistler and hanging out with her is like they put on this deadly breakfast. So we brought fresh bagels.
Contribute, yeah.
To have for breakfast this morning. So we didn't eat all of them, but we left them there as like, you guys have the bagels.
See, this is why you are a great hostess and I'm not, because I would have eaten all the bagels.
It was also the second time in 2 days that we made bagels. So yeah. we had a little bit bagel out. I wouldn't say I was bagged out. You're not going to hear me say that.
Oh.
But fuck, they were good. And like, not that hard to make at all.
Awesome.
I don't even really want to tell people how easy it is, because then I can keep impressing people in my baking skills.
Yeah.
Well, you're always going to impress me, because as we all know, I can't cook worth shit.
Keep sweaters in his stove.
Yeah.
Or in his oven.
Well, not anymore. There's like a frozen pizza that goes.
There you go. You have a roommate, so you have someone else to take into account now.
Like, I'm the only one who uses the oven out of both me and Ashley.
Oh, okay.
Ashley is strictly a stovetop cooker kind of girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, bagels. Fucking delicious.
Genius.
Cooking.
That's me. That's my whole week.
I can make bannock.
Ooh, bannock is good too.
It's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like me a bannock. Is that your variety? Obsession though this week?
No,
I doubt
it's not.
Is it horse circus?
No. Although there was one segment where these girls were like, there was like two horses and one leg was on one and one was the other. So there was like standing on the two horses and they had these beautiful chiffon capes on.
That's pretty outstanding. That's right up. Right in your wheelhouse.
Bring in the gayest thing I've ever seen in my life.
There you go.
This woman riding
on a horse.
Two horses in a chiffon cape. And men riding horses in chiffon capes.
Love it.
Everything, all the capes were chiffon.
Thought it was gay. And then the dudes came out in chiffon capes.
Yeah. It's just like.
And you're like, oh, that's gay.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But.
Beautiful.
Moving on to something equally as gay, probably. Is the new Ryan Murphy show called Feud.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
I know there's people out there who are listening who are also watching.
It's the story of...
Because that shit is fucking great.
It's the story of the historic feud between Bette Davis and Joan Crawford, and it's centered around the end of their careers, which is amazing because that part of the story has never been told. Like, Mommy Dearest ends before she starts shooting Baby Jane, right?
It's Baby Jane that this one is focused on.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just providing such an amazing context for what the bullshit these women put up with in Hollywood.
They're older women at the end of their careers looking for roles and looking for work to maintain their...
They're both Oscar winners.
Yeah.
Like, they both have, like, been, like, more... Well,
lauded by their peers,
and whatever.
They're icons.
They're icons at this point. And
so this is what in the...
This was 60s? In the... Yeah, the early 60s. Yeah. But just, it, like, it goes so deep into their relationship and, like, why they had this supposed feud and...
Their own issues.
And their own issues that they dealt with from their childhood and all these different things. And it's just, like, it's such a fascinating portrait of just womanhood.
And Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon. And, hi.
Kay. Hi.
Susan Sarandon is the only person they could have cast to play Betty Davis.
And it's outstanding. The There's only been one episode and it's outstanding.
And I watched it 3 times. And I'm so glad that it's an hour long because, like, it's going to be like 12 hours of television. It's like The Crown.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a movie per episode.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. And, like, the costumes are so good and the acting is amazing and the casting is amazing. And, like, it's just...
Is it HBO?
FX. Yeah. But...
It's hard to find.
It's just... And, like...
I was trying to find a place where I could watch Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Does iTunes have it or something? Or...
iTunes.
Maybe YouTube?
Yeah. Do something that's, like, illegal to watch.
It might be on YouTube, though. It's old enough.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Yeah, I think it's on YouTube.
Because I remember watching it 20 years ago.
Not in very good quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched, like, a remastered version with subtitles and stuff.
Yeah.
Because close to the end of the movie, it's a little difficult to hear Joan Crawford. I'm not going to tell you why, but, well, it's an old movie. She's dying at the end of the movie.
I'm scouring the Wikipedia page and, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Going down
you
some
read
rabbit
the book?
Holes. No, but I want to read the book.
I want to read the book now.
What's the book? Is it called Feud?
No,
the Baby Jane
It's called
book.
Whatever oh, Happened to Baby Jane. Sorry, yeah.
That the movie was then based
yeah.
on.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just, like...
I remember watching it.
There's also an amazing book that I read. It's just called Betty and Joan, and it's just about their lives together.
Sweet.
Which I loaned to Claire, and she never gave it back to me, so give me back my book. but yeah, I think that book was part of the source material for this show as well. But
beautiful.
It's real pretty.
It's delicious. That's all I can say. And the lines that they say, and it's just like, there's like these huge monologues where like, Joan Crawford, like, I'm saying Joan because they completely sink into the role, but, like, Jessica Lange just talks for, like, 10 minutes about why she fought so fucking hard to be taken seriously in Hollywood as an actress. And people wrote her off as a movie star and a bimbo and a sex goddess for, like, from the 20s until the early 60s. For, like, 40 fucking years, this bitch has been in Hollywood and no one thought she was a good actress because she was, like,
she was
a sex pot. But then, like... And all she ever wanted was to be taken seriously as an actress until Mildred Pierce. And then even then, people didn't take her seriously. No, like, and like, all these things are true. Like, these are real stories that they've given in interviews that they're like retelling in the context of that story. And it's just so good. So amazing.
Genius.
I have to check it
Another
out.
Another genius. Yeah.
Genius. It's giving me life. Giving me will to live.
Episode 2's on tonight.
Yeah,
we're recording on a Sunday night.
Here, so I gotta
get home
and watch it.
Yeah.
I might pick up a poutine on the way home.
Oh, do it. Do it. It's medicine.
Is the KFC open?
Yeah, I think so.
It's medicinal.
Yeah. Medicinal poutine.
From KFC.
That's the only place
Kim
I can
Kardashian.
You're gonna need medical treatment after you eat it.
Yeah.
Some sort of like Pepto-Bismol or something.
Yeah.
Afterwards, from the gut rot, it's gonna
yeah.
But if you go into it hungover, it just
totally negates it.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's fine.
The alcohol eats away.
Yeah. Exactly. All the bad.
Exactly.
Right? Totally doesn't count.
You need a hot, salty, lumpy
fried
cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I'll wrap mine up. Mine is real quick. I got a new hair straightener, and holy shit, it's the bomb.
Your hair looks gorgeous right now, I must say.
It's like the first time in like 2 years I've liked the way my hair looks. It's okay. Ever since I've been growing it out. But it's one of the ones, it's like one that's a brush.
Oh, really?
It's not a flat iron where you squish your hair and pull. You just brush. And I do it in like half the time.
Are you serious?
This is genius.
I want
ridiculous.
To see it.
And it was on sale on Amazon for instead of $100, it was like $50 or $44 or something ridiculous. And of course it's Amazon, so I got it in like 5 days or something ridiculous.
Is it like ionic, like
Not even. Yeah.
Tectonic plates.
Well, it used to be tectonic plates when you'd crush your hair between two pieces of metal and fry the fuck out of it.
Because I do have an old flat iron. Back in the day, it was like it had the ceramic plates. Yeah. It's a real fancy one. I bought it at a salon. It was like $150.
Oh, yes.
And mind you, I've had it for 10 years, maybe even more. But it would take so long. And oh, my God, my arms get tired. And I'm not super good at doing my hair. Like, I've never been able to roll, brush, and blow dry at the same time.
That is an art.
Can't
that
do
is
it.
An art.
Can't do it.
I can't do it either.
Cannot do it. I love the way it looks afterwards. I get my hairdresser to do it for me every single time I get
hair. Yeah, when I had long hair, I loved getting a blowout. It was the best.
Oh, I loved it. And but then the flat iron I could do, but it would take me like an hour when my hair was longer and thick.
Yeah, me too.
And Evan's got a good head, thick head of hair too.
Oh yeah.
No, you can do it under half an hour.
You got to show me this thing because
I need to grow my hair again.
I've been standing totally skeptical because I've seen ads for those and I'm
me
like,
too.
No, okay.
And then bullshit, I saw a friend of mine on Facebook. She posted a video of her doing her hair and she had thinner hair, but it was like fucking magic. Like
you gotta
before
show me
your
this.
Very eyes.
That's one of the reasons I chopped out my hair. Yeah. I was like, fuck this hair.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Same with me. And then now I'm growing my hair out. I'm like, ugh, I'm going to have to. And I was trying to embrace the wavy and I was trying to get haircuts. But my hair is so inconsistently wavy. Like there's chunks that are and there's chunks that aren't. And they're never where you want them to be. And the front always looks weird. And you got wings. It's like I cannot do bangs. Bangs are way too much work for me because I have such weird wonky hair that just waves in the same way every time. So, and it doesn't curl.
Yeah.
And it doesn't wave. It's just kind of weird and full of air. I'll post a picture. I took a picture of before and after. And of like my hair air dried. And then after like 20
minutes.
You do
it dry.
Yes. You have to do it with your hair fully dry.
You gotta show this.
And this is even no product. This
is like a magic wand.
This is like argan oil while it's wet and then flat iron and then like some hairspray in my part.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I'm obsessed.
Just pat to keep the oil down.
Exactly. I'm already a minimal hair washer in the first place because my hair is such a pain in the ass to dry and do, and I'm never happy with it. I'm also the person like day 3 or 4 is when my hair looks the best.
Yeah.
Now it looks good like immediately. It needs to calm down a little bit. Like I need to like sleep on it a little bit and let the air come out a little bit. So like day 2 is usually best.
You need to crush it a little bit.
Is it like
I wash my hair?
Like is it like
no, it's got like instead of it being a flat plate, it's got like it almost looks like a Toblerone.
Oh.
With like comb, you'll see. I'll post a picture of it. It's the Aceveia.
Compared to a chocolate bar, so that I can understand.
Yes. Yeah,
it looks like a Toblerone.
Okay,
but with like super fine, like each Toblerone peak is a
tine thing?
In the cone. Yes, exactly.
All right, I gotta see this.
I'm obsessed.
This wizard,
I love it.
Wizardry,
it's great.
That's one of the main reasons why I chopped all my hair off is because it was
so
fucking difficult to deal with.
Yes,
it was the first time my hair had been that long, and I hated it.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think it looked
great. I like the way it looked.
I don't think I looked good with long hair. I didn't think I had the face for it. It gave me a little horse face. I got a long face and a
sure,
long
and
forehead.
Sure, and if it elongated the...
I needed bangs, but also...
What are you going to do with bangs?
Bangs are very trendy, and you need to style bangs.
I can't do
it
bangs.
It wasn't going to work.
Yeah. I told Chris...
And bangs with long hair, it's
bangs.
Like a lady hairdo.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, like it's kind of like 70s rocker dude, but that's not me.
No, not so much.
I'm very uptight.
The short cropped manicure suits you.
Yeah, and I literally I blow dry it and I put a little bit of like a curl cream in it because I have naturally curly hair and bing bang boom, I don't wash my hair for like 4 days and it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. If I can go with washing my hair once a week, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because I can't fucking stand it.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, we've covered a lot of bases on this.
Oh, yes.
A lot going on here.
We've gotten into feminism. We've gotten into
well, we always do.
We've gotten into Toblerones,
wigs
always. Vet mob bitching.
Yeah.
Anna Wintour, Vogue.
M&M's,
poutines.
And all about blogging.
But you know what?
On our blogging
stuff in the middle.
Yeah, you know.
It's how we roll.
But no dick joke.
We gotta think of
something
quick.
About sucking dicks before, but maybe you heard me.
Well, there you have it. Everybody
well, it's there. We always got one, at least
no,
one.
We try. It's what we strive. Got to have standards, guys. Anyway.
You guys can.
If you have anything to say about what we have to say,
yeah,
we would
tell
love
us
to hear it.
We are, you can always find us on Instagram.
Yes.
You can
Facebook.
Find us on the Facebook.
Twitter.
Twitter is Fashion Hags Pod, I think. The rest of them are Fashion Hags.
Yes, Fashion Hags Pod. I posted a tweet about some hats
on a frog, and it was
great.
It was pretty good. I saw those.
My contribution to our social media presence today was a toad wearing a multitude of hats.
That toad is setting some trends.
She is accessorizing.
Yeah. Yes.
She is doing it.
She looks like a cowboy. It's great.
She is getting ready for spring.
She is doing country western, Ralph Lauren. She's doing her country western.
She's doing her b-boy. She's doing her gentleman.
She's doing her Rasta.
She's doing her pimp. She's doing
She knows her angles.
Anyway.
She's a fashion blogger.
She's a fashion code. She's a fashion blogger. Yeah, there you go. She's making it happen. Oh boy. All right. Well, we love you.
Well, we love fashion more.
We do. We love fashion more. Yeah. Even toads.
Even when we really hate it.
We still really love it. Yeah. Bye. We love you.
Bye.
Bye. Fashion.
Hey.